I'm your host, Jenny Worthington, and the following interview is from my series, Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness.
Welcome, everybody, to Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness. I'm excited today to welcome in one of my extraordinary speakers, Winter Wersthorn, who is an animal communicator in South Africa. And I am feeling that this is just an amazing time that we need to really come together and remember that we are connected to everything in this world, including the animals. And we have a lot to learn from them. And somebody like Winter, who is able to really connect with animal consciousness, is here to share some of her amazing stories with animal connections that she has made and to help us understand how we ourselves can do it, because it's a natural gift that we're all born with and that our ancestors used. It's time to come back to that connection. And she's also an author and a huge animal advocate. I know she works closely with the white lions in Timbavati, and she is also a trustee on Baboon Matters Trust. So I know she has a lot to share, so we'll get right to it. Welcome, Winter. It's great to have you here.
Lovely to be here. Okay. Well, it's wonderful to be here, and I think the timing is perfect for what you are sharing at the moment. It really is time to get into our hearts. You know, I've been doing this work for nearly 20 years now, and there's been tough times in my life where I don't think I could have got through without knowing about this heart connection with nature and the animals. And so I think that what I'd love to do for everyone who's listening today is just to do a small connecting meditation before we start getting into the stories, to show people how it feels to be in your heart space, to get out of the head space and into that heart space, feeling the unconditional love that you have, that we all have within us, but sometimes we haven't been shown it and we don't understand what it feels like. So if that's all right with you, let's just go straight into it, and then we can start with our talk.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Wonderful. So if everybody can just make themselves comfortable, you can gently close your eyes. It's really good to have your feet firmly on the ground so that you feel the ground supporting you. And if you can hold your back straight. And then just take a deep breath in and slowly breathe out. And on your next in-breath, imagine yourself breathing in a rose gold colored light. And on your out-breath, imagine breathing out any heaviness, anxieties, or worries that may be with you at this time. And you might visualize those worries and heaviness as a dark, murky color that you're breathing out of your system. And then on the next in-breath, breathe in the rose gold light. And as you breathe out the heaviness, see the murky color transform into this beautiful rose gold light. It sort of sparkles in the air. And this is the symbol of unconditional love. Just take a few breaths like that in and out and see and feel the heaviness transform into lightness. See the dark, murky colors transform into this beautiful rose gold of unconditional love. And then breathe that back in. Now on your next in-breath, I want you to take your focus down to your heart center, which is the space in the center of your chest, just to the right of where your actual heart is. And I want you to breathe into your heart center. So you're almost imagining that you've got a, your heart center is a set of lungs, and the air that you're breathing is this unconditional love of rose gold light. So start breathing into your heart space. And just sense what you feel if you focus on your heart. Start thinking about how you feel about Mother Nature and all the animals that you love. Let go of any fears or anxieties or worries that you have about them. And just focus on the feeling of absolute unconditional love that you have. You can imagine perhaps an animal friend or even a human person in your life that you love more than anyone else. You have the greatest love for them, and it doesn't matter what they do or how they are or what they think or how they look. You will always, always love them. And just recognize that feeling. It doesn't make any logical sense. It doesn't need to make any logical sense. It is a feeling of being in that heart space. Now sense the love and support that Mother Nature has for you. And feel it in the earth that we walk upon. Feel it in the birds and the trees and the trees themselves, the plants, the waters of the world, the earth, the soils, the minerals, the richness of the earth that helps us to survive on this planet, that gives unconditionally. And feel the love and gratitude that you have for Mother Nature, for her gracious gifts. And think of the animals that bring you such joy, whether they're domestic animals that live with you in your house, all the wildlife that sing to you outside your window, or that visit you in the fields and in the forests, or even in the oceans. Now send that unconditional love that you have for the being that you most love in the world. Send that out from your heart center to Mother Nature, to all the animals that you can think of, to all the plants and the trees. You can start off with the ones that are perhaps near you in your home, in the room that you're sitting in, and then extend it outside the room, and even include the insects in this, all beings, all life. And then move your focus outside the rooms, into the gardens around you, into the streets, perhaps into the other houses and apartment buildings, into the city. And send that love out to all the nature beings. And then extend that field of love further, including all the human beings. Include them in this beautiful protective field of love. And then move beyond to the countryside and to the borders of your country that you're living in. And then even beyond the borders to the coastlines, to the whole continent, through the rivers, to the oceans, and then over the oceans, to the other continents and land masses around the world. So now you are sending this field of unconditional love around the entire planet. And there's no limit to this love. It doesn't stop. There are no boundaries. You can send it even further, up to the stars, to the sun, and even beyond the sun. I just feel really safe and protected and held in this beautiful love of Mother Nature. And now slowly start bringing your focus back from the sun and beyond the sun to the stars, back into the Earth's atmosphere, to the whole planet, to the continents that surround your continent, to the oceans. Thank all the beings of the oceans. And then back to the continent that you are living upon. Take your focus to the ground, to the plants, to the animals, the bees, all the insects. And then bring your focus down to your city, or your town, or your village. And back to your own personal environment. And then move back into your home, into the room that you're sitting in. And then take your focus back to your heart center, which is still filled with this unconditional love of Mother Nature. Take a moment just to feel your feet solid on the ground. Feel the physical support that Mother Nature has for you. Know that you are safe and that you are held by her. And now that you know how to get into this heart space, you can go there anytime. It is a natural way of being. It is the only way of being with nature, in the silence of stillness, of love, of respect, and of joy. Now take a deep breath in to your heart space. Take a moment just to become aware of your physical body. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
That was beautiful.
Okay, good. That is, it's something that we can do at any time, whenever you're feeling a little bit off center or out of kilter. If you can learn to drop into your heart, it really just, for me, it brings everything into perspective again. It helps you to feel the connection that we have with all life and with all beings. And it can be a very helpful and beautiful space to be in. So I'm glad you enjoyed that.
It was wonderful. Well. It really was.
So that is the space that I go into when I want to start a conscious communication with a particular individual animal. So during the meditation, what we did was we sent the unconditional love out to the entire world of nature and to all the beings. But when you want to communicate with one specific animal, you just focus on that animal, and whether they're in front of you physically or whether they're not with you, like in another town or another country, you can work with the photograph of them, which you are focusing on their essence of them. And you connect with that essence of them. And we can, I know it sounds strange, but it's a heart-to-heart connection. But when you're communicating with something that may not be a mammal and may not have a heart like we do, you can communicate with insects, with trees, with plants. And there is literally no limit, but we're connecting with their essence, with their spirit. which is everlasting and beyond the physical. But the communication also very much can be about the physical. And often when I'm called to communicate with an animal for a specific reason, it is often to do, obviously, about the physical, whether it's their health or behavior issue or, some physical change in the home that they need to, or in their environment that they need to know about. So that is the space, that heart space. That's the very first place you go before you start a communication. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
So it can be, when you're starting out, it can be easier to communicate with a mammal like us, just because we've been so conditioned to visualize the physical or to only believe in the physical. But once you start practicing with a mammal, you'll see that the method of communication is exactly the same, whether you are communicating with a non-mammal as well, even animals in spirit. We connect with their essence, with their spirit. It's the same method. It's obviously the feelings and the information you receive is very different. Animals in spirit don't really focus too much on the physical. An insect will give you a completely different perspective of their lives than an elephant would. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a wonderful, magical world of getting into other perspectives of, of different beings. And it just opens your mind and your world to what else is out there and what is possible, so that we're not just this anthropocentric world where we are in domination of, and yeah, absolute domination of the Mother Nature. So it goes from egocentric to ecocentric in order to work with everything and have an understanding of how nature works.
And I think that is absolutely key in this day and age when we are really sort of struggling to preserve the planet and the health of the planet, so that we can continue to be here.
And the animals can help us to understand what's going on. And one of the stories I'd like to share, and because it's during this time, and what is interesting is the lead up to this pandemic that we are all experiencing at the moment. Almost every communication that I've done with an animal has shown me something coming that I didn't understand what it was at the time, and it was a warning. And I'll give you an example. The first time that I became aware of it was when I was communicating with a wild baboon in the Cape Peninsula, and under very difficult circumstances, because the baboons have a very tough time in South Africa. They are very much managed by people, and the management is very aggressive and often lethal. So if a baboon becomes a problem by raiding the houses and scaring people and stealing food, they are more often than not killed by the authorities. So The baboon I was communicating with was a female baboon called Angelina, and she was part of a very small troop of four females. And her whole troop had been removed, killed by the authorities. And these were the last few that were left, and they were all females. All the males had gone. And the authorities were saying to the village that they either have to stop raiding, the baboons have to stop raiding, or they are going to be killed. So the village had they were living in the village at the time because it was safer than in the big reserve that was next to the village. Safer for them because they knew where the easy food was. They knew the people that would protect them. And I was asked to communicate with them, not by the authorities, but by the people who were concerned about them, to ask them what they wanted, because something was put on the table for them to be taken to a sanctuary. On the other, taken away from their home, their wild home, and put into a place where they would be enclosed for the rest of their lives and be safe and looked after. And what she showed me when I connected with her, she showed me that the place where she was her home and the bay that she comes from. So where she lives is a village that's on a coastline in Cape Town. And the baboons there have adapted to sea life. So they go and forage along the waves. They eat the seaweed and the mussels off the rocks. And they are very intrepid and resourceful characters. But beyond that, she was saying she does not want to leave. There was an absolute no for rather, going into a sanctuary because to spare their lives. It was no, I'll take the risk of my life for my freedom. And another thing that she said, which was probably the most important thing that I received from this communication, was that they are playing a very important role in the area. And she showed me, I had a vision of when there were no baboons left in the area, this darkness would start creeping. And it really was like a darkness creeping over the land and making everybody sick. And I just, for me, it felt like the sickness was the separation sickness of humans and nature, because we do suffer from such a terrible separation sickness. And, the fact that in African tradition, and I looked that up later, baboons are the cleaners. They take away negative energy and they take away disease. So in African tradition, and most of the tribes believe if a baboon moves through the village, you just need to let them move through. You mustn't harm them or kill them, because they are the ones that are taking away. They're like the medicine men of the animal world, the shamans. And this communication happened in July last year. And the story went on and on, I don't know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending how you feel about life and death, their lives were spared, but they were taken to a sanctuary. So that's where it was only about a month ago, a few weeks ago, that they were captured and taken to a sanctuary. So they have been removed, but it was very interesting that the moment they were removed was when this pandemic started. And I just remembered this disease, this darkness that she showed me. And another communication I did with also a wild animal, a lion, she was very sick and nobody could work out what was wrong with her. And she showed me a few physical things. So I got, she had pain in her teeth and her stomach was very taut and expanded and very uncomfortable. And then that she needed help. She wanted help. And again, a wild lion, but so it's a big thing to call a vet in to dart them and get help, but she really asked for help. And then the vet did come and they discovered that she had sore teeth, which was making her face swell up. And she also had like a hookworm or a parasite in her stomach that was making her feel really sick. So on a physical level, she was treated and she's recovered fine now. But what she also showed me was this darkness coming in. And it's just such a strange thing for me. And this was also just before this pandemic hit South Africa. So I feel if we can get into that space of communicating, especially with the wildlife, and if we really become very aware and learn how these messages come, because we all get messages in different ways. So I was talking about images and visions, and that's how I get most of my information. I also get it through feeling, so physical feeling, like with the lion's teeth, I could feel the teeth were sore. I felt it in my own mouth and in my own stomach. But some people will hear words rather than see pictures, or actually, you know, see words written on a paper, or, you know, there's so many, or smells and tastes are even a way of getting information from the animals. So it is an amazing tool to develop. And it is something that is completely natural for every person to be able to do. We've just been conditioned to believe that we cannot do it. Does that all make sense? And
it absolutely does to me. I think there's so much that we just are not conscious of. And we have a tendency to dismiss anything that's not human as lesser than we are. And yet I think that the animals are actually, and nature are actually operating on a much higher consciousness than we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you really look at it, who's creating problems in the world? It's not the animals, it's the humans. So like, who is the higher consciousness really? And we need to start listening to what they have to say. And I do believe, like you said, that they are also serving roles that we're not aware of that are so important to the world. I know I've heard that whales and dolphins and elephants are all, they've been holding the electrical grid of the earth, the ley lines of the earth for millions of years, waiting for us to sort of wake up and get with the program. Yeah, I would just love to see more and more people start to do this kind of connection, because there is so much that it would totally blow our worlds open.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just that I've relayed stories about wild animals, because I'm very privileged to be able to work with the wildlife that we have in South Africa. But, our animal friends at home are just as wise, and they can teach us as much. And I'm thinking, you know, they really know what's going on. And some of the, you know, one of the funny stories that I like to relate is about a dog that her human was concerned, because she kept on every night after this married couple had dinner, their dog would sit in the corner of the room and just bark at them. And she didn't know what was going on. She said, maybe she's seeing spirits in the house, or, you know, there's something disturbing in the ceiling. What, you know, what's going on? So when I connected in with her and I, you know, asked her what was making her bark like that, I suddenly got this ream of information about finances and money in the family, that the husband was hiding something from the wife, and that instead of sitting down and watching TV after dinner, they needed to talk. And they weren't talking. They would just, they'd have dinner and they'd go into the lounge and watch TV and then they'd go to bed. So, I mean, it was quite a thing, you know, to tell a stranger that your husband's got, you know, isn't telling you something. But luckily, I've learned that you just have to You can be tactful about how you relay a message, but if you receive that information, you need to pass it on, because it's actually not your information to keep, especially if you've been asked to communicate with someone. And so I did. I relayed it, and absolutely, the next night she spoke to her husband and said, oh, you know, what a funny thing. This, you know, this is what Poppy the dog is why we believe she's barking. And he admitted that he had a huge tax bill that he wasn't able to pay, and he was stressing hugely. And they sat and they spoke about it and worked out how they were going to deal with it. And from that day on, Poppy the dog stopped barking at them every evening in the lounge. So even on that basic level, our animals know what's going on. Things about money, but they certainly do. They pick up on all our thoughts. They pick up on the worry, the anxiety. They know that, you know, money is needed to buy their food, and they just know, because they pick up on all our ways of being. So, you know, even on that level, it's amazing how they can point things out to us in our own lives.
Yeah, that's incredible. I took an animal communication class that really was centered on soul contracts that animals come in with for their human. The human soul, the animal soul decide before they come into this life that they're going to work together. And the animals come in for a reason to that person's life.
Definitely. I mean, they definitely do. And, I think we do choose each other. All my animal friends, they've chosen me, it seems. Even if I've been out, you know, going to look for, you know, a rescue dog at the center, there's no mistaking the instant connection that you feel when it's an aha moment. Yes, this is the one, even though there's hundreds of beautiful dogs or cats that, you know, you could take home. And I don't enjoy going to rescue centers because I want to take them all home. But yes, there's those special connections that we have from lifetimes. I do believe that. And I've also been shown how animals reincarnate, sometimes with in a different body, different species even, to be with the same human in that same lifetime. And one of the cases that comes to me was a German Shepherd dog who was very, very close to his person. And he kept on showing me a Siamese cat. I kept on getting an image of a Siamese cat. And I said, you know, what is the Siamese cat you keep showing me? And she said, oh my word, you know, he reminds me of the Siamese cat that I used to have. That was, you know, just my baby. And so I communicated with him and asked him, you know, what was his connection with the Siamese cat? And basically he was saying, I am that cat, but I chose to come into this form so that I could protect my human better. And it was really interesting because she lived on a very isolated property in the north of South Africa where there was a lot of crime. A Siamese cat can do damage, but a German Shepherd can probably, you know, would stop the criminals from entering the property. So he chose to be in that body so that he could be more protective on a physical level. And I just found that fascinating. And she, you know, the fact that she recognized that and she thought, no, you know, how can a dog remind you of a cat? I mean, what cat would choose to come back as a dog? I always think as well, but they do. They can.
Well, I've always said I wanted to be reincarnated as a cat in a great house. That would be the best life ever.
Yeah.
That's what I'm definitely for.
But they do take on, you know, cats are amazing at taking on negative energy and protecting people from negativity. And yeah, they are powerful beings. Not, you know, all animals have their roles, I think, on a physical and an energetic level. But it's amazing to see how they can flow between species as well. And I always say, you know, often in my classes, my workshops, my students will say, is it possible that, I think one of the questions was, is it possible that a soul could be in two beings at one time? And I say to them, if you can think it, it's possible. There are no limits to this work. Everything is possible because we live in a quantum world. We live in an energetic world where molecules can shift however they want to. And I have seen evidence of, you know, okay, maybe it's not physical evidence that can be proven, but certainly a feeling of a soul overlighting another animal, even when they've been, you know, when they're still in another body, in different places. So, you know, I never say that, no, that's not possible, because we don't know, and that we've still got so much to learn. I learn from the animals every single day. Every time I connect in and have a communication, some more knowledge gets filtered through. And it's just a blessing to be able to do this work. It really is.
It's amazing. But let me ask you a question. Mm. How do you know that you're not making it up?
Well, I think because of the validation that I got, you know, when I first started, I was terrified that I was making it up, you know. I did my first workshop ever with Amelia Kincaid. She was in England and I flew over there. But in that workshop, she had a little dog on her lap, and it was the questions. There were 20 people in the room and we all had to ask the same question to the dog: what happened on your walk this morning? And everyone got something to do with water. And I got a feeling, I actually saw him walking by a stream and slipping, and a feeling of embarrassment. And Amelia taught us that, you know, no matter how ridiculous things sound, you just write it down and you say it out. And that, it was spot on. He'd fallen into the little stream that they were walking on, and because he was showing off, Amelia felt he was showing off. So, and that embarrassed, you know, he was acting very embarrassed afterwards. So I thought that was my wow moment. That was like, wow, it works, I can do it, you know. And from that moment on, I mean, I spent nearly 2 years practicing with different people's animals. I'd get people to send me their photographs of the animals, and I would just practice without charging. And the more validation I got, the more I knew that I wasn't making it up. So that's really the only way you can start trusting this process, because you feel the quality of the information that comes. Because there are times that you could be off and the information is coming from a different place, like from your logical mind. If you're not completely in your heart and you start thinking and doubting and you write something down and it's completely off and you think, oh no, I can't do this. And even now, 20 years later, I still have that slight anxiety when I'm going to go into a communication, then I find, you know, I get something in, I have to double check, what is the feeling when that information arrives? Is it just a complete yes, no doubt about it? Or is it sort of on the periphery? Am I thinking too much? Or, and one thing that I've seen, the information comes very quickly. It comes so quickly that you don't have time to think it up. So if the fact that you're not, you know, it literally comes so quickly that you haven't actually managed your own thought. And what I also do before I start the communication, I set the intention to have a clear, concise communication with this specific animal. And sometimes if I'm feeling disturbed by outside energies, I'll visualize that rose gold field of light in a cocoon around me and the animals, so that we are protected from any other outside energies. It might even be someone else wanting to climb into the communication to get, you know, because you're in that open space.
Right.
So it is important to do that when you go into your heart space, to feel that. I use the rose gold light because it is the symbol of unconditional love for me. Some people will use a silver blue or a gold, warm golden yellow light. But whatever comes to you, use that light as this kind of protective layer, and put the intention out there that only the relevant information that you need will come to you at that time. And that I find very helpful and very valuable to do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The speed with which the information comes in, like you say, it's so fast that it can be dismissed so quickly and a lot of times I found that if I'm wanting to ask a question, the answer has come before I've even asked it. They anticipate what information you're going to need. And so you're getting it before you even get your question out. And it's really hard. Like for me, I know it takes practice, but for me, it's really hard to keep up with how fast things are coming. And so, you know, you get a flash of something and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I do when I'm even, you know, if I've had a client that has a list of questions for me and wants to know specific things, I don't even look at the questions. I'll just go into an open communication. And, you know, you can start off, for me, I just go into the heart space, ask permission, and then it starts flowing and flooding sometimes. And I write it down. I always write it down. I've tried recording it as it comes, but that doesn't work for me. I actually have to write the words down on the page. So I can barely read my handwriting afterwards sometimes. It's so quick, but it helps to kind of bring it out of there and into reality, into the physical reality. So writing down and not looking at the questions, because then what you'd normally find once you read over the communication, you'll see that most of the questions would have been answered already, because the animals, in some, you know, they know what their humans worried about and they want to give the information, especially the relevant information that they themselves are concerned about. You know, they might not be worried about the dog next door barking, but the human's worried about it. So that might not come up in the communication until you ask the question. But all the relevant information comes in that first open session that you are in. And sometimes you can do two or three sessions. I basically do one session. It lasts about half an hour, depending how much or how important the information is that comes through. But more often than not, it's about half an hour. Some people will go back. If I feel like I haven't had enough information in that half an hour, I'll go back and try and find if there's any more to tell. So it's okay to not have to get all the information in one sitting. Also depends on the urgency of the case. You know, if it's a missing animal, for example, or someone who's very sick and terminal, you want to get as much information for that time as possible. So you'll sit and not, you know, let it lag. But animals will also, I remember another situation, a story that I've got, and that it's quite good to demonstrate what they feel is important and what their people feel is important. Because I was asked by the head dolphin trainer at the Dolphinarium here in South Africa to communicate with one of their dolphins because she was a bit concerned about it. But she said to me, it's not urgent, so don't worry if you're busy. And I was very busy at that time. So I just put it down to the bottom of the pile, bottom of the list. And of course, that night, well, it had been a few days since she'd requested the communication, and I was probably going to get to it in another few more days. But I woke up at 3 o'clock one morning, and I had an image of this dolphin. And I mean, it was just like she was there above my bed. And I saw that she was pregnant. She showed me a fetus in her tummy, and she showed me that there's something wrong with the water. I just felt like the water was uncomfortable. So I wrote it, or I sent an email off straight away. And absolutely, she was pregnant, which I didn't know about, and they knew about. And they had recently changed her water. Oh. So that was what was bothering her, was the water. You know, it wasn't toxic or anything, but whatever, the pH balance wasn't right for her pregnant state. So I find that if you don't get to those communications, they'll come wake you up and say, come on, this is urgent. You can't just leave it.
Yeah. It's so incredible. I just love it. I mean, I could listen to these stories all day long. I just think it's so amazing. And I really want everyone listening, whether you can wrap your mind around this or not, take some time to sit down with your animal or out in nature and say, I'm ready. Come and talk to me. I really want to talk to you. And you would be amazed, I'm sure, at what happened, because I did that after I learned about animal communication. I went up to my horse paddock. All the horses and the donkeys were out in the field. It was a beautiful spring day. Everybody was eating their hay, the grass, and there was absolutely nothing in the paddock that would have drawn them to come in. And I sat on the steps and I said, I really want to talk to you. Whoever wants to talk to me, come talk to me. And I closed my eyes. I got really still. And within 3 minutes, the entire pasture had come in. Not only the 4 donkeys and the 2 horses, but the goat and 3 cats. And they had all just gathered around me. And it was so mind-blowing to me that I said, yes, this is real. So give it a try. I mean, it's just, it'll open a whole new world.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a beautiful story. Yeah. And it really, we can all do this. It's our birthright. We were born able to do this. We've just been told that we can't. And don't believe those who told you that you can't do this. And don't believe anyone else who tells you that this is impossible. It is so real. And I don't think there's going to be many more years before it starts becoming recognized by the scientists that this is something that needs to be considered.
Right. I think the whole scientific thing is so funny, because everything needs to be proven scientifically for people to believe it. But scientists don't study anything unless there's enough anecdotal evidence, unless there are enough stories being told that make them say, oh, maybe we should study this and see what's going on. Yeah. So for me, I really feel like the mystical is always going to be way ahead of the science.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's so amazing. I love it. Yeah. I just love the whole magic of it. And the possibilities are endless, just endless. So listen, I have loved talking to you. I could talk to you all day, but I don't want to keep you here any longer. I want to say you do have a website. It's called animaltalkafrica.co.za or ZA. And definitely check that out, because Winter has an amazing online academy, beautiful courses. And she also does special trips to see the white lions of the Global White Lion Protection Trust, which is a magical experience in itself. And oh, I wanted to say, I think you also have a gift for people that have clicked in?
Yes. So there's my meditations for the animals. It's about 8 meditations that will get you into that space and connecting with specific animals. So that is, it normally goes for about $10. So that is my gift for everyone listening here. And also for the next few months, I'm giving 25% off my Animal Talk Africa Academy, my online academy, just to get people through this quiet time of where we need to go into our heart and just to make it a bit easier and share the load, because we don't know how long this is all going to be. Hopefully we'll be in our hearts forever from now on. And things are changing very rapidly. So that's another, 25% off. And you can just click on my website and all the information is there.
That is fantastic. That's so generous. Well, I really, really appreciate it. It's been such a joy to connect with you. And yeah, you've been so generous with your time. And your stories are just wonderful.
Thank you, Jenny. It's really something that I feel passionate about sharing, and it's something that we all need to know about. So I'm very happy to give my time for it. Thank you.
Yes, I definitely appreciate it. Definitely do. And I know everybody listening will have enjoyed all your stories.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hello Animal Talks, hosted by me, Jenny Worthington, production by Stacey Spencer of Going Graphic, sound engineered by Jimmy Richards of Bay Central Media, and music written and performed by Jake Shepherd.